The scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, and it posed us a problem in the conversation for the curious. The people were gathered in Jerusalem had come from all corners of the earth, so that's the they in the scripture. So from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does it mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." God's word.
Would you pray with me a moment? Holy God, may the next few minutes help us to see and to hear, to touch, to feel the power of your Holy Spirit that was poured out hundreds of years ago and continues to be even now. Bless us, challenge us, comfort us, shape us to be more as you would have us be in the world. In the name and in the Spirit of Jesus we pray and we say together, Amen. Well, we have been working on a sermon series called Draw the Circle Wide. And there have been seven kinds of ripples. And for some of you who may not love sermon series, this is the last ripple. Then we'll do something different. But today, we're focusing on ripples of the Spirit. And today is Pentecost. And I had a brave soul from the new member class say, "You said it like I should probably know what it is, but I don't." So Pentecost is, in a way, a fulfillment of the Christian narrative, because it starts with Advent. All the promises that there is this person coming who will lead us as a child, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, Everlasting Father, person who will be able to make the rough places plain. We remember all those texts from Advent. And then, of course, there was the story of the birth of Christ in a stable because there was no room in the inn. This child born to a very poor woman, teen. Nobody was even quite sure whether she was married. That was from scandal to miracle, that God can be revealed in the flesh in the most unusual places and at the most unusual times. And then, of course, it's the season of Epiphany where we celebrate the manifestations when people are like, "Oh yeah, we got it." There's a picture of a dove there which is representative of Jesus' baptism when the skies opened up and the people heard, "This is my son, my beloved." And yet, probably the most significant and well-known epiphany story is the wise guys, those magi traveling from the east. And usually it gets all enmeshed with our Christmas story, but that was actually the first epiphany. Somebody outside the community saw and believed. Then we move into the season of Epiphany, and then the season of Lent, which is a time of preparation, taken from the text about Jesus being led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted, an opportunity for us all to be aware of the ways in which not only are we tempted, but it feels like wilderness is where we find ourselves oftentimes. Then there's Holy Week, and there is the great celebration of Easter. Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed. And yet there needs to be a way in which Jesus promised to the first disciples, I will send you an advocate. That is the Holy Spirit. There are two versions, actually, of Jesus giving the Holy Spirit. The one in John merely has him breathe on the disciples as they're gathered together. But Luke, who's also the author of the book of Acts, has a very different story to tell, which is what Diane just read for you. And so what's up with this name, Pentecost? We'll have a little geometry lesson. Anybody know what that shape is? Oh, good. Oh, that was easy. Wasn't quite sure. And so the Pentagon means five sides, and the ancient Greek word Pentecoste, 50th, Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. But like most of our rituals and traditions, it didn't just come from a vacuum. It had history. So those faithful Jews were gathered together for their festival of weeks. And it happened 7 weeks after Passover. Okay, 7 times 7? Plus one? Okay, hey, all right. But people had gathered together, and as Diane said, the names of those places, some of them we don't even know where they are anymore, and that's not the point. The point is, of the known world, there were people from everywhere in the known world. In other words, everybody had made this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And it's celebrated as first fruits. Obviously, our agricultural seasons don't match up with those of the Middle East, but this was a kind of a thanks for the first fruits of the first harvest. Also happens that 50 days after Passover, or the observance that the Jews kept, is that it was also the anniversary of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. So you can see that there are lots of intersections with what we celebrate as the season of the day of Pentecost and what our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrated as Shavuot. So what on earth happened, according to Luke, in the second chapter of the book of Acts? Well, the first key piece is they were all together in one place. And without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, like a gale force wind. Does that help you envision the version that Diane read said, violent wind, gale force winds? Have you ever stood in gale force winds? Sometimes you have to lean into it like that because otherwise you'll fall over. No one could tell where it came from. And divided tongues, something like that, appeared on each and on all of them, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. I've bolded all and each and all just so we'll be aware of the dynamic between individuals and community. It takes both. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard one after the other their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you think that language is going to be a barrier and somehow you find a way to get beyond it? They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? Here's what we miss about that. The Galileans had the crudest, roughest kind of dialect and language. They weren't the smooth, sophisticated Greeks. They were the kind of the country bumpkin ones, if you will. Anybody ever have a time when they hear somebody speak and it sounds like they're not as educated as you are, and the challenge of not looking down your nose at them because they aren't as smart as you are? Am I the only one that has that challenge? Isn't it ironic that it was the Galileans who were the ones who were speaking so that everyone could understand in their mother language? And they're talking about God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make heads or tails out of it. What does this mean? What's going on? Others are like, oh, they're drunk. Cheap wine. You know, you can buy it cheap so you can chug it. So there are some takeaways. I pointed out the bolding of the all and the each, because Luke's version of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the birthday to the church, was not just for the 12 disciples as it was in John's gospel. It's not just the inner circle that gets the Holy Spirit. It's everybody gets the Holy Spirit. You with me so far? We can't control, assign, create the movement of the Holy Spirit any more than we can control the wind or the weather. It comes where it will, it blows where it will, it blows as hard as it will, and sometimes it might even wake us up and move us to do something we might not do otherwise. And this is this advocate that Jesus was talking about before he died. Here are some characteristics, I think, for the Holy Spirit. As I said, it can be heard, as evidenced by the wind. It can be seen as fire, and it can be felt as touched. They felt like each one of them was touched on the head by something like a flame. The Spirit cultivates mutual respect and understanding. How important that is today. Spirit reaches across barriers of language, culture, nationality, and Spirit evokes the various responses. Those who are saying, what does this mean? In other words, they were trying to evoke a creative imagination. And then there were those that sneered, drunk. How easy it is to dismiss the presence and power of Holy Spirit. There are different ways that Spirit is acknowledged and experienced. So I like to think of the Holy Spirit as the fuel that enables us to do the works of power that God has done and continues to do through us, so that we can embrace mystery and creative imagination. We can practice inquisitive faithfulness. Anybody know about inquisitive faithfulness? Sounds good. You wouldn't be practicing it if you weren't listening to this ancient story that sounds absurd. Thank God that we can look at something, be challenged by it, and open up. What does this mean for us? What does it mean? So the folks there went from confusion and being perplexed to being inspired that there really was this force, this energy that had come to them, just as Jesus promised, and enabled them to manifest the good news of God's love for all people. Have you heard of that proverb? Necessity is the mother of invention. There's quite a bit of debate about whether Plato actually said that or the translator of Plato said it because of coming out of the 16th century and what someone else had already said, but I think there's something in a way that can be connected with Holy Spirit. So for me, Holy Spirit is the mother of love and action. And love and action is what goes, is what takes us from simply talking about God's people and being God's people something like tongues of flame. Fire has energy. Fire has power. Fire can destroy. Fire can make room for new growth. These are all of the invitations that we have today, Pentecost. So what are we going to do by way of being called to God's, on God's behalf to act? Well, you know that we host a PFLAG chapter for Washington County, and it's been a real eye-opening experience for me to get to know more folks from the LGBTQ community and to really understand the importance of drawing the circle wide and the way in which the ripples of spirit can provide transformation in ways that are just kind of beyond your imagination. You may not recognize the second flag. Anybody know which flag that is? Transgender flag, right. One of the things that's happened in the PFLAG chapters, actually kind of around the country, is that there are more and more families who are affected by people who come out as transgendered. Now think about that just for a minute. Can you imagine what it would be like to be born into the wrong kind of body? I can't imagine something any more difficult to deal with. So for me, it would be, I have this body of a man, but I really feel as if I'm a woman. And I confess to you, it's helped me actually be in relationship with people to understand how true this is for them. It's not an act. It's not something put on. It's not something chosen. It's who they are. Trapped in the wrong body. Wow. 1.4 million Americans, that's 0.6% of our total population, identify as transgendered. 1.4 million, that's quite a few people. 41% of attempted suicide versus 4.6 of the general population. About 10 to 15% of the overall LGBTQ community attempt suicide. 57% of families chose not to speak to them or spend time with them after they came out. 60% of doctors or healthcare professionals refused to treat them. 64% suffered physical or emotional abuse at work or school. 69% experienced homelessness. This was done by a combined study of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law. When we read in the scriptures about Jesus reaching out to lepers, we don't have a lot of leprosy in this culture. But what we do have are people who are marginalized because either we don't understand, we're afraid of them, or we focus all of our hate and anger on a particular group. Sisters and brothers, on this Pentecost, I think one of the challenges we have is to be a place where transgendered people can be safe and affirmed, because there are very few places where they can. Look at the percentage of family. More than half of the families don't even want it. They disown them. We've got a public health crisis. This picture could be any picture of over 200 schools that have had shootings recently. Yes, this is Santa Fe High School in Houston. Since Sandy Hook in 2014, more than 400 people have been shot in over 200 school shootings. School shootings that have happened in the United States since 2018 started, 20. Number of weeks in 2018, 20. I bet your math doesn't have to be great to get you to that's 1 week. We have to do the best we can to support our young people with solace, safety, services, and support. Because I can tell you, as a father of a high school student, when this happens, every high school student says, am I next? Is my school next? Am I safe? What can I do? This is a public health issue. Even when the shootings don't happen in a particular school, they've already traumatized. So to the extent that you can hear your children, if you're a grandparent or a parent, an aunt or an uncle, give them the room to talk about how they might be feeling about these school shootings. Don't immediately jump to, oh, you don't have anything to worry about, honey. That's not probably going to be the most supportive. On the other hand, if your children are younger, you probably don't want to get into every grisly detail there is available either. Just the reality that these kinds of things are real, and we will do our best to provide safety and support and services so that folks won't feel afraid or minimize that. And I think we also have to be advocates for this ongoing crisis. I don't know about you, but I was stunned when I saw that there have been 20 school shootings just this year. It's almost like it's happening so much, it's like, oh, well, that's another one. No big deal. That's bad. I don't think that makes Jesus happy. I don't think it makes God happy. Now, there are cases of injustice. I mean, Palestine and Israel, how ugly that got this week. It's hard to try to choose where you're going to put your energy and your love, but I think it's important to remember that we have to be the people who are set on fire to make a difference and believe that we can make a difference and never give up. Now, the other thing that we have to celebrate on Pentecost is not only these larger mega issues that we have to deal with in larger communities, how about just in our own community or our own self? Every one of us knows what it's like to be ill at some point in your life or to have a loved one be ill. We share that. That's a common language, a common experience. We all know what it's like to be sad or to grieve or to lose someone we love. We all know this experience. It's a common language for us. It's a way that we can walk together with each other, because this is part of what life is. Some of you might struggle with some kind of mental illness. I personally have battled depression over the years. And what you notice about this is that it says, I'm fine. How are you? Okay? I'm fine. But up here is what's really happening. I need help. I'm in pain. I'm falling to pieces. There's this ugliness that's happening. I'm fine. Have you noticed how people will do that? I do it. And sometimes it's okay to, because you may not be in a place where you can actually spill your guts all over the place, but it's important to find people who will support you and walk with you, and this is what the church is about and is for, so that we can be about God's mighty, powerful acts of love. And finally, I don't know about you, but my family occasionally has some heated conversations. One might call it arguments. We need to be loving of each other, which does not mean pretending that conflict doesn't exist, right? There is no model perfect family that never has arguments. Either that or they're just not really even close to being close. If you don't risk, we are called out to be the people of God who can weather this to build even stronger relationships in our families. It's a challenge, but it's worth it. It's good work. So the fire's still burning. It's the agape fire. And we are a people on the birthday of the church who can celebrate that even now Spirit is being poured out, dumped out, fired out on each and every one of us and all of us.